Hi there. My name is Rock, and my wife's name is Ro. Yes, you heard that right, Rock and Ro. And we are truly grateful to be here with you today. On behalf of Jesus, our King, our Lord, and Open Door Lake CC, it is my privilege and honor to bring forth this message from God's Word. Jesus is greater. The supremacy of Christ, from Hebrews chapter 1. Today, we are going to look at one of the most powerful chapters in the New Testament concerning who Jesus truly is. Hebrews chapter 1 does not present Jesus as just a good teacher, just a prophet, or just a religious figure. It presents him as the Son of God, the creator of all things, the exact representation of God's being, the purifier of sins, and the one who is seated at the right hand of majesty in heaven. And that matters because in a world full of confusion, distractions, and competing voices, we need to be reminded that Jesus is not one option among many. He is greater. He is supreme. He is Lord. He is fully God. And he is worthy of our trust, our worship, and our surrender. So today, my prayer is simple, that we would not just hear information about Jesus, but that we would see him more clearly, love him more deeply, and trust him more fully. At this time, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that you have spoken to us clearly and finally through your Son. Open our hearts today. Remove distractions. Help us see Jesus more clearly, love him more deeply, and trust him more fully. Holy Spirit, teach us. Exalt Christ in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now at this time, I need to set the stage and give us some history to explain the time and some culture of what was happening at that time. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish believers who were under intense pressure. Most scholars believe it was written before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. The temple was still standing. The sacrificial system was still functioning. Judaism was familiar, accepted, and protected under Roman law. But Christianity? Christianity was costly. These believers were facing persecution. Some were being rejected by family. Some were losing property. Some were tempted to drift back to Judaism because it felt safer. It felt familiar. It felt less controversial. And so the author of Hebrews writes to say, "Don't go back. Don't drift. Don't downgrade Jesus." He begins with a powerful declaration. Jesus is not just another prophet. He is not just a messenger. He is not even equal to angels. He is greater. And Hebrews chapter 1 establishes one foundational truth. Jesus Christ is supreme. Let us get into God's Word. I'm going to ask my beautiful wife, Ro, to read Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 14.
Open to Hebrews chapter 1 and we will be reading verses 1 to 14. In the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son. Today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits, and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?
Thank you, Ro. Okay, let us dive deep into this and find out what God is telling us. Verses 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the Old Testament, God spoke in many ways. Through prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. Through dreams like Joseph. Through visions like Ezekiel. Through the law given to Moses. But those were partial revelations. They were true, but incomplete. Now listen carefully. God's final word is not a book. God's final word is a person. The person is Jesus. At this time, I will ask Ro to read John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5.
John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Good job. Thank you, Ro. So Jesus is God's final revelation. You don't need a new prophet. You don't need a new covenant. You don't need a new message. You need Jesus. We live in a world constantly chasing new truth, new spirituality, new revelations. But Hebrews says, God has already spoken fully, and he spoke through his Son, Jesus. This next section is called, Who is this Son? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. Here is God's word. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The author now gives seven breathtaking descriptions of Jesus. Look closely in verse 2. Whom he appointed heir of all things. Everything belongs to Jesus. History belongs to him. Creation belongs to him. Your life belongs to him. He is not running for king. He is the rightful king. Section 2 is titled Creator of the Universe. Now, look at the last part of verse 2. And through whom also he made the universe. Jesus was not created. He is the creator of everything. John chapter 1 verse 3 says, Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The one who died on the cross is the one who spoke galaxies into existence. That changes how we worship him. Section 3 titled The Radiance of God's Glory. Verse 3 says, The Son is the radiance of God's glory. Radiance means the shining out. When you look at Jesus, you see the glory of God shining. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. How does God treat sinners? Look at Jesus with a woman caught in adultery. How does God respond to the broken? Look at Jesus touching lepers. How does God handle suffering? Look at Jesus at the cross. Jesus is not a reflection. He is the radiance. Section 4. The exact representation of his being. Look at verse 3 again. The exact representation of his being. The Greek word here carries the idea of an imprint, like a stamp pressed into wax or an image pressed onto a coin. In other words, Jesus does not merely resemble God. He does not simply remind us of God. He does not just teach us about God. He perfectly reveals God because he is God. When you look at Jesus, you're not seeing a lower version of God. You are not seeing a created representative. You are seeing the very nature, character, heart, holiness, mercy, power, and glory of God in human flesh. That means everything Jesus said shows us what God says. Everything Jesus did shows us what God does. The compassion of Jesus is the compassion of God. The holiness of Jesus is the holiness of God. The authority of Jesus is the authority of God. The mercy of Jesus is the mercy of God. Now we come to section 4. Sustainer of all things. Look at verse 3. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. Right now, Jesus is holding the universe together. Colossians says in him all things hold together. The atoms obey him. Gravity obeys him. Time itself continues because he wills it. And here's the comfort. If he can sustain galaxies, he can sustain you. This brings us to section 5. Purifier of sins. Verse 3. After he had provided purification for sins. This is the gospel. All the sacrifices in the temple could never fully remove sin. They covered it temporarily. But Jesus provided purification. Not partial cleansing. Not probation. Complete cleansing. When he said on the cross in the Gospel of John chapter 19 verse 30, "It is finished." It was finished. Section 7. Seated at the right hand. Look at the last part of verse 3. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Jewish priests never sat down in the temple because their work was never done. Jesus sat down. The work is complete. The sacrifice is accepted. The victory is secured. Now we come to section C. Titled Jesus is Greater Than Angels. I will ask Ro to read Hebrews chapter 1 verses 4 to 14.
Hebrews chapter 1 verses 4 to 14. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son. Today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits, and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions, by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?
Now the author addresses something very important. In Jewish thought, angels were highly revered. They were seen as mediators of the law, powerful, glorious beings. But the writer makes something crystal clear. Jesus is not an angel. He is greater than angels. Verse 4. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Then he asked, verse 5, for to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son"? The answer? None. Angels are servants. Jesus is son. Angels worship. Jesus is worshipped. Verse 6, let all God's angels worship him. Angels do not receive worship. They give worship to Christ. Section D. The eternal throne of the Son. Look at verses 8 to 9. But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever." Notice something powerful. The Father calls the Son God. This is one of the clearest declarations of Christ's deity in the New Testament. Jesus is not a created being. He is not a lesser divine being. He is eternally God. And his throne lasts forever. Empires rise and fall. Rome fell. Governments change. Markets crash. But Christ reigns forever. Section E. The unchanging creator. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 10 to 12. In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth. Then verse 12. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. Everything changes. Technology changes. Cultures shift. Bodies age. Emotions fluctuate. But Jesus never changes. The same Savior who called fishermen. The same Savior who forgave Peter. The same Savior who rose from the grave. He's the same today, and that gives stability in a chaotic world. So you might be asking yourself, why this matters? The original readers were tempted to drift backward. The author says, Why go back to shadows when you have the substance? Why go back to angels when you have the sun? Why go back to partial revelation when you have the full revelation? And brothers and sisters, the same warning applies today. Don't downgrade Jesus. Don't reduce him. Don't make him one spiritual option among many. He is supreme. Now let me speak directly to anyone listening who has never been born again. Hebrews chapter 1 shows us who Jesus is. He is creator. He is sustainer. He is king. He is God. He is purifier of sins. But here is the question. Is he your savior? You can know theology and still be lost. You can admire Jesus and still be separated from him. The Bible says we have all sinned. Sin separates us from God. But Jesus provided purification for sins. Not by good works. Not by religion. Not by heritage. By his blood. To be born again means you turn from trusting yourself. You place your faith in Jesus alone. You confess him as Lord. You receive his forgiveness. If you have never done that, you can do it right now. Right where you are. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for me and rose again. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Be my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life to you. Amen. If you prayed that sincerely, God hears you. His word says that all who receive him, all who believe in his name, become children of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." The one who sustains the universe will save your soul. Brothers and sisters, Hebrews chapter 1 is not just theology. It is fuel for worship. When trials come, remember who he is. When doubts come, remember who he is. When culture shifts, remember who he is. He is greater. He is supreme. He is seated. He reigns. And he is coming again. Very soon. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for revealing your Son in such glory and majesty. Forgive us for the times we have made Jesus smaller in our minds than he truly is. Lift our eyes again to see his supremacy. Strengthen those who are weary. Save those who are lost. Anchor us in the unchanging Christ. May our lives reflect his greatness. We worship you, Lord Jesus, Creator, King, and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week.